For those of you that are newer, how this kind of came about is I attend a virtual meeting, and it's called Shane's Basement Meeting. Apparently, Shane is in, I think, Tennessee. But anyways, I landed in this meeting, and I ended up meeting Dee while I was there. And I came in one night completely on a high after one of my GSR universities in my area. It was a virtual, a Zoom GSRU. And I was super excited because we had great turnout and participation. And the next thing I know, I'd agreed to this 5-week thing. And it's been a blast. I admit it's definitely come with its challenges for me. It's allowed me opportunities to grow and learn more because I've never looked at it from the lens of what is just DCM like anywhere. It doesn't matter like what area you're a part of or even what country you're in. There's things that are universal. And there's things that are specific to your area. And I learned that I had never actually separated the two. And so that's been an interesting journey for me. And so thank you for that, because I've definitely learned a lot along the way. A few things. I just want to, when I say DCM or district committee member, I also mean alternate. There's no passes here. I believe the alternate is wherever the DCM is. That's how I've been raised up. That's generally, I'm not alone in that. I don't think my area is unique in that. So please don't feel left out or like you're getting a pass if you're an alternate DCM. This totally applies to you and your role. Also, I said last week, but I want to point out this week, a lot of areas have a DCMC, a district committee chairperson. And I am not speaking to that at all. Mainly because I have no experience, strength, and hope around it. My area doesn't have that structure. And so I can read what it is from the service manual and I can understand the words, but I have no experience, strength, and hope around that. So when I am talking today, it's really about the district committee member role, the running of the district meeting, the supporting of the GSRs, and the district committee chairs. So that's kind of where we're at. So last week, we talked about what is a DCM, what are the duties, where to find information on AA.org, important resources for you, such as like a service sponsor, past DCMs, your area, your area committee, kind of what am I supposed to do, where do I fit, that kind of stuff. And then this week, I wanted to spend the time speaking on, okay, I've learned all the stuff I'm supposed to be doing. Now, how do I do it? And what does it look like? And so I'm going to break some things down. And I'm going to focus primarily on the district meeting itself, because that seems to be where at least I know I struggled the most with as a DCM was actually running the district meeting and kind of keeping all the balls in the air, making sure the agenda got out, making sure the minutes got out, making sure everybody had what they needed. Oh my gosh, we had, 20 GSRs last month. Now we only have 15. Where did those 5 GSRs go? It seemed like every time we'd get a new GSR to start coming to district meeting, we'd lose another one. Or every time we'd fill a committee position spot, and I'd be so excited. I mean, I remember at one of our area quarterlies, and when I say quarterly, that could be an area committee meeting or an area assembly in your area. We all say different words to mean the same thing, but in my area, we call them quarterlies. And I remember getting up to the mic and being so proud because I was like, oh my gosh, we filled all our standing committee positions. I'm so happy. I'm so proud of my district. And no joke, the next week at my district meeting, two of them dropped off. And I was like, oh my gosh, like what just happened here? And so one, I learned keep my boastful attitude to myself. But I also learned that that's just kind of the process. It happens. And okay, like let's how do we get someone to actually fill the position and make it through the rotation? Sometimes it's super easy and sometimes it's just like a rotating door. And there doesn't seem to be really any rhyme or reason. So it's like, how do I roll with that? And so okay, the structure of your district meeting. Now it probably looks similar to this. Is you hear reports from your GSRs, you hear reports From the standing committee chairs within your district. So your corrections chair, your cooperation with the professional community, your treatment. You as a DCM will give a report. There may or may not be a special presentation from a from maybe you have your area treasurer in and they're giving a talk on Seven Tradition, or maybe you have the chairperson from your local intergroup or central service office coming in and talking about some of the needs that they have, or you know, maybe one of your standing committee chairs asked for some time to do a special presentation, like maybe your grapevine, maybe there's a grapevine challenge going on and they want to have a special presentation on that, things like that. And then you're also, there's usually an opportunity to discuss any group or district issues. And then any area or conference, general service conference topics and things that you've been asked to bring to your district to make the GSRs aware of and to get feedback on, or just to make them aware of. And so it usually easily fills an hour and a half. Most district meetings are an hour and a half to 2 hours, no matter what platform, in person or virtual. It didn't seem like Zoom really shortened the meeting time. At least that's been my experience. And so, oh my gosh, so that's a lot to kind of, sometimes that's a lot to pack into a district meeting. Now, depending on your district structures, I know some districts where there is actually a district motion that the district meeting will not go more than 90 minutes, period. And they will literally just stop, they have to stop the meeting and pick it up next month. I know some district meetings that it's not like that. It's a little more loosey-goosey, a little more low-key. And one of the things I found that helps is some district meetings, you know, it's not a big challenge to get it done in an hour and a half. But sometimes you've got a lot to discuss. You know, sometimes it's right before an area assembly or when you're trying to prepare the delegate for the conference, or there's some months that there's just more information. I found it was really helpful to let my GSRs know ahead of time. Like ahead of time, like maybe usually I would send out the agenda like a week before, or I would try to send it out a week before. It didn't always happen, but my goal was always to get the agenda out a week before. And I would let them know, like, hey, this district meeting's probably going to go a little long. So, you know, be prepared because we've got some really important stuff to discuss and, you know, go from there. So it really, I found it worked really well for me to give my GSRs and standing committee chairs a heads up on what the time frame was going to look like. Because I mean, I had to schedule a babysitter for my district meetings. I didn't have to. I had the opportunity to schedule a babysitter so I could serve my group and my district. And so it was nice for me to know that I'm going to need to pay this gal an extra hour to watch my child. So things like that. Or like maybe, you know, people have schedules, they have lives. And so when they know ahead of time, they can accommodate it. And so I didn't have as many people being like, you know, whatever, I'm out, or sorry, I gotta go, and having that weird disruption in the district meeting when there's just that mass exodus of people just leaving, and we still have 30 or minutes or an hour of stuff to discuss. A few things, because I have lots of DCMs, at least in my area, asking like, you know, do I have to do like, this is the agenda that I received from my predecessor. And I just don't really like it. I don't feel comfortable with the order of things. I feel like we're always, you know, the GSRs are always last, or we never get to the standing committee, or, you know, whatever. There's all sorts of problems. And really my suggestion has been, well, one, make sure that there's not some sort of group conscience around how the agenda is set. It's rare, but sometimes there is a group conscience around the agenda and what it should look like or how it's set. But most of the time there's not. So one, just make sure you're not going against group conscience from the start. And then the other is like when I would send out the agenda, I said, hey, I noticed that we're really rushed. We're not really getting to the GSR reports. And this is your meeting. I want to hear from you. So this month I went ahead and I moved you guys to the very beginning. And let's give it a try and see how it goes this month and see if we like the new order. I'd appreciate your feedback. And then at the start of the district meeting, I'd say the same thing and let them know, like, hey, I changed some things. I feel like it'll help things flow a little better. letting them, you know, and letting them know what's in it for them. Like, hey, we're forgetting the GSRs. I want to make sure that your voice is heard from the very start. And so by proactively communicating ahead of time and then communicating before we started of this change, one, I didn't get pushback. And two, I was able to get some constructive criticism because I asked for it. Like, what did you think of the change? Did you like it? Did you feel like the district meeting flowed? This is your meeting. I want, you know, this isn't Heather's district. This is District 31. Like, I want to make sure that you guys and gals are getting what you need. And it helped. It just was really helpful. And I don't know about you, but I like to feel like I have a say in things. Even if do I really need to have a say? But that didn't matter. Like, to just know that if I really wanted to, I could have a say, just made it so much better and I could buy into it. And so I found that really beneficial. Now, also, I want to point out on those months that you got really heavy agendas. Sometimes there's just a lot of stuff and you might need to cut some things from the agenda. What worked best for me and in my experience was at the start of the district meeting, say, hey, we've got all these motions to discuss. We got our assembly next month. I really want to make sure we get all your questions answered. Could we, you know, just submit written reports for our standing committee? I'm going to submit a written report. I'm not going to, you know, yammer tonight, get those in. And like any of you GSRs that might be interested in just submitting a written report, if you'd be willing to do that this month, it'd be greatly appreciated because we have 13 motions to go over or something like that. And it worked out okay. And the like two GSRs that just like really wanted to give their report for whatever reason had that opportunity, but the other 13 chose to submit a written report. And I was able to gain back 30 minutes of the district meeting. Cause really, and I hate to admit this, but when I look at people in a district meeting, I look in a shape of minutes. Okay. I have 15 GSRs. They get up to 2 minutes to give a report right there. That's 30 minutes. I have 10 standing committee chairs here tonight. They get 2 minutes to report. Okay, that's 20 minutes. So right, and then I have the DCM, the alternate DCM, the district registrar, the secretary, and so on. So okay, there's another 10 minutes. So basically there's an hour right there just with reports. That's an hour. So I kind of would do that kind of stuff in my head. I think it's helpful. It was helpful for me to kind of assess when I looked in the room how much time I knew for sure was going to get gobbled up and how much time I had for new business, old business, group problems, district problems, things I knew we needed to talk about. Because really, if you're going to have a 90-minute district meeting, I really only have 30 minutes to work with unless I ask for permission to have more time. So now I do want to point out, I did not figure this out right away. I did not figure this out in my first 6 months as DCM, but I had figured it out by the last 6 months. So please don't take this as a, in any shape or form that you're doing a less than stellar job. Most of you aren't DCMs yet. And for those of you who are, you've been doing this for what, 6 months? Thank you. You've made it 6 months. That's awesome. So just remember that I know this now. I didn't know all this then. And so I just want to point that out. I am by no means the best DCM ever. The best DCM ever, actually, that I've ever seen is in Western Washington, our current area chairperson, Crystal S. She was by far the best DCM I've ever seen. She ran the best district meeting and her GSRs loved her. They absolutely loved her. And I talked to her about it later. I was like, this doesn't just come from coming to the district meeting. Like, what's going on? I found she was calling her GSRs on a regular basis. She called her GSRs and checked in on them. And of course, and some of them were like, what'd I do wrong? what's going on? Is there something wrong with my group? Did I mess up in my GSR report? And she'd be like, no, I just want to see how you're doing. How are things going? How's your group doing? You know, oh, you mentioned last week that at the district meeting that your son was sick. How's your son doing? You know, things like that. And just she made a real effort to a genuine real effort to get to know the GSRs, the group she was serving, the standing committee chairs. And I learned a lot by that. I've been able to incorporate that in my service moving forward. Like I didn't do that as a DCM. Like I checked on people that were my friends already, that I saw in groups already, but I didn't do that. And I think that if you're so inclined and you have the time, that a phone call is really nice. And or text. I mean, depending on the person, that might be all, they might not ever answer their phone. My son does not answer his phone, but he'll answer a text. So you'll have some of those GSRs like that. But just saying, like, if you have the time and you're so inclined, that can go a long way. So there's that. I don't get to do this alone. We don't.
Relaygroup.com, and I will make sure that you get everything that we've put in the chat. If you don't know how to operate it, and well, then where does it go after I copy it? How do I paste it? You know, it seems like it seems simple, but it isn't that simple. It's okay. And a lot of us have learned. I love because I see you guys laughing. That means that you're laughing with me, not at me. I used to take that personal, but I know that today is identification laugh. So please, I will help you as Heather has given you so much information also in the file that I provided. As she said, the sample agendas and different things. That's all in one big, beautiful file along with the recording. We've also got 25 weeks of the service manual study along with concepts and warranties that Billy has done for us that I put in there that you can share, download with your GSRs. All these wonderful tools for us to help fulfill these roles. So any of that stuff that you need, please make sure we get it to you. So as I just stalled for questions, I will now stop rambling. I want to say thank you again, Heather. So it says, would requesting sub-districts to gather members that are willing to go on a 12-step calls, even if at an inconvenient time, be appropriate for this accessibility chair or someone else? Names and phone numbers of the members for a list available for the districts.
Well, if not the accessibility chair, who? You know, like we got to do 12-step calls and we always have lists. And sometimes it's kept by the accessibility chair, sometimes like it's kept by the treatment chair, sometimes the DCM has it, sometimes the intergroup has it or the central service office. So, you know, the thing is they're keeping a list of people who said, you can have my number and you can call me for a 12-step call. And the last time I checked, a 12-step call has never been during a convenient time. Most drunks don't get sober between the hours of, or want to get sober and get help between the hours of like 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. They call crazy at 4 in the morning, you know, or when the bar has closed. So I think that, I don't know. I know for me, if I'm putting my name on one of those lists, I have one, agreed to it, and two, don't expect them to ever be convenient.
Good night, Steve. Somebody said thank you to you. They were leaving. Steve
Thank
said good night, Heather and Dee. Thank you. Yes. I have one that I want to read here that came in, actually the first one. So my home group has never had a GSR attend the area assembly. I'd like to change that. Is it custom for the group to pay for the entire weekend, pay a set amount of money per day, food, gas, hotel, etc.? What is the best way to approach this with my group? I know we have one days and then we have weekends, area assemblies, quarterly. So if you'll speak to that, thank you.
Yeah, well, I think it's a great conversation to have within your group about what you can realistically do. You know, most groups, at least in my area, fund the GSR at some level to go. Now, and this is the one time where when I'm saying GSR, I don't necessarily mean alternate GSR. Some groups can't afford to send both. But they can afford to send a GSR. So that's a clarification there. Some groups will say, hey, we can give you $200 for the weekend. Some groups are like, turn in your, you know, keep track of your mileage. We'll pay you the IRS rate or we'll pay your gas money. We'll pay your hotel for two nights. We will pay for your registration, all your meals, but any meals that you have outside of that, we won't pay for. Or, you know, it just depends. One thing that's really cool, what I found is, one, I think it's great. Whoever put that in, talk to your group about it, because the earlier you can talk about it before the actual event, the better. So the group has time to prepare for it. Because when I was Area Treasurer, I would tell groups like, hey, it's probably $500 to send your GSR to the assembly, because it's ours is a 3-day event. And even if it's not, like usually if it's in Seattle, okay, no, like a lot of people aren't traveling as far, but the hotel rooms are so much more expensive. But if we're down, you know, in the more rural areas, the hotel rooms are a lot cheaper, the meals are a lot cheaper, but everybody has to travel so much further, so the gas is more expensive. So all in all, and it ends up being like $400 to $500. Now, granted, you can mitigate a lot of those costs. Carpooling. Like, I've never driven to any AA thing by myself. So carpool, share those costs. Room, bunk, you know, have a roommate. Now I've learned, I used to bunk 4 or 5, 6 girls in a room. I don't do that anymore. I am not sane if I don't get some sleep. So like I will room with one other person and we figure it out. But like I had to learn. But see, you can totally cut down on the cost that way, where, okay, so now I'm only spending $250. But one really cool thing I saw with a group I attended for a summer, because of my son's schedule, I couldn't go to my home group for a summer because he was swimming. And so I went to this other group for 3 months, and they were a small group. They had maybe 10 people that would come on a regular basis. But they had a GSR and an alternate, and they wanted to send both of them to the area assembly. And it was in Ocean Shores, which was a trek for us. And they asked, because I had nothing to do in the group, they're like, hey, can you make an announcement for a seventh tradition? And so I did. I say, hey, this group has a GSR and alternate, wants to send them to the assembly in October. It'll cost about $600 to $700 to send both of them down there. And we'd really like to be self-supporting. So just think about that when the basket is going around. That group went from bringing in like $20 a week to $100. They actually could contribute. And because of that, because I knew years later when I was Area Treasurer, that group kept bringing in more money, because they let people know what the money was being spent on. Because if you don't tell me, all I think, and that's because I have time, think you're spending money on rent and coffee, coins, and literature, unless you tell me otherwise. You know, and then new people, they have no idea. They just think it magically happens. You know, it's like, it's just magic coffee. Like it's my own AA Starbucks. So again, if they don't know there's a need, they're not going to respond to the need. So yeah, that's it.
Oh, here's a quick good one. I want to touch real quick on what you just said, because it's so important for anybody that's here as a GSR that doesn't have that conversation. I love when Heather says, have that conversation, because that was my experience as a new GSR too, is mm-hmm. that I asked exactly that same question. You know, I want to be able to go, but as a single widow mom, I couldn't afford to go. And I was all responsible for just my kids. And as far as people in my room, I wasn't wanting that either. You know, I mean, normally I would if I was single and by myself or whatever, but with little ones, and I didn't want strange men sleeping with my girl, whatever, you know. So by asking, it was amazing. I went from getting nothing. Like the first one, I stayed at a Motel 6 and like they were holding it out at the Bonaventure, right? You know? And so, and with my mom, right? My dog, my kids, you know? And, but whatever it took, I was going to be there, right? All for the 3-day weekend. Mm-hmm. But when I went and asked, it didn't have to be that painful. When I went and just asked, oh my God, the conversation with the group. Now, then I started getting reimbursed for the 2 nights when I submitted my you know, my receipt. So I would suggest ask, you know, have that conversation, just like you said. So, and what a relief it was to not feel so uncomfortable about that seven tradition conversation. Oh my God. Yeah.
Well, and a lot of groups, what I found is a lot of groups have a group conscience. They just don't ever tell the GSR that there was a group conscience made 10 years ago on how to handle this situation. Like you just magically know. And it's like I can't tell you every single rotation when we have a new GSR coming up on the assembly, like the GSR is like, how do I pay for this? Like what?
I know.
Like, and we're like, oh no, it's okay. Like we just magically forget to tell them about it. And also too, like, cause when I was GSR, That was a while ago, and my son was little, and my career and financial situation was very different than it is today. And like I couldn't even afford to pay for the hotel and get reimbursed. And so my group treasurer would prepay for my hotel for me or give me money. Like they would give me cash and say, here you go, just give me the receipt and any leftover money. So like it's one of those things where I had to get over my pride and my embarrassment that I couldn't, that I needed help is really what it was. I needed help to serve my group. And once I let them know how I needed help and what I needed help with, they accommodated me. And so again, it's a great lesson in pride and ego. But it's one of those two where as members of our home groups, who if we've been a GSR, is to help that GSR and like help start that conversation or at least try to educate. Be like, hey, just so you know, like the GSR will do this for you, or the group treasurer, like our group treasurer, because we can now register for our area assemblies online. They just register them for them. We have a group debit card now. We're like so advanced that that's
Just
only
rub it in, why don't you?
that's
Thanks a lot. Rub it in.
only in the last year, because we had a group treasurer that like was actually like qualified to be a treasurer from the start. Other than they just wouldn't run off with the money. And so like they did some stuff to like set us up to like give us some of the perks. Because we have a bank account, anybody can have. You just have to ask for it. So anyway.
Cool. Good stuff. That's awesome. So we've got another one here. Well, we've got quite a few. If my group has a new GSR who was never taught what to do or when, and I made calls to our area who connected me with the last DCM because the current DCM doesn't answer the phone, I feel a little tension there. And his voicemail box is always full. How can I get connected to GSO regarding financials? I am the treasurer of my home group and really want to address the fact that we've always done our contributions 50%, 30%, 20%, but that perhaps we should take a closer look at who needs the money and adjust what we've always done. Oh, I love that one.
Well, that's a great one. If you're specifically looking for the GSO, the General Service Office financials, reach out to your area delegate. They're the ones who are getting that information and providing it to the area. So you basically just leapfrog over the DCM. And also, depending on how your area is structured, like we put a lot of the information on the area website behind a password. And so it might already be available to you on your area website. And your delegate might tell you that. But your delegate, so it's usually delegate at area blah 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 is usually something. Yeah. If you look on your
Yeah,
area
that's
website,
the area website, right?
if you look on your area website, it should have a like contact us and either give the email addresses or talk to that past DCM. They'll know. Just keep
Yeah,
asking.
because we have like what's called Delegates Corner or something. We have, well, not summit, but that's what it's called. Delegates Corner on the main page, but you got to have a password to get there, blah, blah. Yeah.
So wherever the delegate is reporting that information, that's where I would start. But your delegate and the
And
delegate.
sometimes if it's not scrubbed, it'll be there anyway, right? With that, I mean, for us at least, I mean, so it's there, but that's why it's password protected for most of the time. There's, if it's, yeah, exactly. So that's a great question. And also that's another reason why it's important to have representation and in getting involved so that the GSRs or central office intergroup reps for those splits to understand where the money's going. Like you were talking about the cake. I love that story about your home group. Because it's something that I got to see also. Like you said, you think with coins and cookies or cakes or whatever. I just think that that's where your expenses are going to. But when the emphasis is put on the GSR and the alt GSR and having representation with a voice for your group, maybe the group chooses not to have those things because it's more important to pay for them from the group members' contribution so that they can afford to use their Seven Tradition contributions to send their GSR to the area assemblies, if you will. So that's good stuff too, full transparency there. So somebody else asks, let's see, we're going to get into the other one here. It says, brand new GSR here. Love this. Welcome and thank you for your service. As far as I can tell, in my 20 months, my group has never had a business meeting. I also can't seem to find out who the previous GSR was. I feel like if I suggest anything, I like having a business meeting, they would think that I'm trying to control things. Oh, my heart feels heavy for you because I do relate. Who is in a group's business meeting? Who coordinates it? Are these things I can look to my DCM about? And please stay after to that person if this doesn't even answer that. You know, please, we don't want you to be alone. You don't have to do it alone.
Yeah. So, wow, that's tough. That makes it hard. Like you've been elected to do a job, but you're not given a platform to do the job at. That makes it challenging. So yes, DCM is an excellent resource for sure. Also, if maybe not a past USR, but if there's a safe, like a trusted servant within your home group, an elder statesman, someone who like probably doesn't talk a lot, but you know, always seems to be there and people kind of look to, that might be a person to just approach the conversation about, hey, like I have this stuff to report. I'm not quite sure. Like, what should we do? Have we ever had a business meeting before? Like, who goes to business meetings? Well, each group is autonomous, but generally it's, I mean, my home group is anybody can show up at a business meeting, but the only people voting are home group members. But I also find like, who goes to a business meeting that doesn't have to? Like, I mean, except for Leslie. Leslie does because she's cool like that. But I definitely was not going to any extra business meetings that I didn't, you know, have a reason to be there for. But, you know, really, it's usually open. Some groups have closed business meetings. You know, that's just, but so the biggest thing I found is maybe phrasing it as a question to whoever your group leadership is just like, hey, like I got a bunch of stuff to report and I want to make sure I get you this information. I do a really good job as a GSR because I like really want to, I really want to serve you. Like how do I do that? Could maybe we have a business meeting or maybe could as a group, we decide on the last Friday of the month, we stay 15 minutes after just so I could, or meet 15 minutes early so I could talk to you about this stuff or, and see what they say. It's the whole help me help you kind of thing. I actually learned that an old trusted servant told me it's the whole, it's not manipulation. It's just, it's help me help you instead of like, I, you need to fix this now. Like we got to have a business meeting. We're going to do this because I say so, because you elected me to do a job instead of, hey, you elected me to do a job. I really want to do a good job. And part of that job is reporting this information back to you. But I don't know how to do that because we don't ever have any time to do that. So could we have a business meeting? Or if not, what will work? Like, which one are they going to respond to? They're going to feel bad and give me what I want instead of being like, screw you, like, stop it. You don't control me, stupid alcoholic, you know, like, so again, it's not manipulation. It's just help me help you.
Okay. You've clarified it wasn't manipulation. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I think it's so cute. I have a question here that I think is a very good one. It is, should I not continue as GSR and allow my group have no representation if my rotation ends? Let me just double check. And no one fills the commitment. Yeah, okay. So that's what they're talking about. Ooh. What do you think to that?
That's a tough one because I've done both. Maybe not always with GSR, but with jobs. And I'd leave it open. Because if they really want a voice, they'll elect, someone will step up and elect a GSR, but I'm not the savior of my group. And by staying in a job, I am robbing someone of the experience of being GSR. So, but no matter how your area's rotation works, you either have 6 months or you have 18 months before your rotation's up. So get busy finding a replacement. Promoting the
and that's kind of,
oh, go ahead.
It's so funny that you say that because for me, wrapping my head around that, I know that's what it says in the DCM pamphlet and in the GSR pamphlet, and it comes to how we're supposed to elect our positions, if you will. Mm-hmm. But in South Florida, mm-hmm. sorry for those of you, if there's any of you left on the call, throw us under the bus, but hey, that has not been my experience in District 6. And a lot of the other people I speak to, they're just happy to get people when they get them. Like if the GSR shows up next month, yay. If the DCM decides they're going to become one next month at the next business meeting, yay. So when you say that, I know that, but most people here, if that's the case, they, you know what I mean? It's very confusing and it's sad that it's come to that, right? Yeah.
That's tough. Because, I mean, but even if you have the scenario Dee talked about, the scenario I talk about, areas have a set rotation. So even if it's just like a cluster and it's like, we got a new one every 3 months, woohoo, like we're just happy to have a warm body in the seat. There is a flow to the rotation. And so hopefully if you're in that position, you're going to stay for the remainder of your rotation. Now I've had some people, like the only caveat to the question I'm going to add is if you just took over the GSR role and there's just 6 months left in your, the structure in the rotation, it is very common for the GSR to continue for a full rotation. Like, but if you're serving for like, if you're the GSR for 4 years, it's like, honey, take a break. Like part of it is, and I get this, it's like, I love my group and I care about my group and I want them to have voice and I want them, you know, I get so obsessed with that. But what I'm really doing is I'm trying to control things and my actions are saying, you won't survive without me. You know what? I've left groups that I swore would just crumble when I left. And you know what? They're doing just fine 15 years later.
That was the next question. So if they find that you're wanting them to have a GSR more than they want a GSR, would you consider changing home groups?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Because, is that really the home group that I want to be a part of? Do I really want, I mean, because I get the whole like helping the alcoholic, meetings is the place we're at. That's where we get the people. We pull them out of the gutter and we're helping them get sober. Like I get that. That's the purpose of the group, but it's not just about the group. It's about making sure that 12-step work that the group can't necessarily do on its own is able to happen. And that's where general service comes in. Because the groups that don't elect a GSR are the ones that are complaining that we're going to have a plain language big book, or like, how did that happen? Or like, what do you mean we're getting a fifth edition? I don't want a fifth edition. Or why do we have this stupid new pamphlet? I didn't want this pamphlet. I've never heard of this. Or like, why did the area decide to do this? Or why did the district move locations or whatever? And it's like, well, you didn't care when we were doing it. Like, if you care, show up. Like, I really have no sympathy for groups that are actively choosing to not participate. That is a choice that is very different than groups who are just unaware. And there really are groups out there that really just aren't aware. Like when you go to these groups, it's, you know, they have new people, like they had a huge, you know, you've seen it, like groups where like the old timers all move away or they die or whatever. And you're left with all these people with 2 years sober and they're kind of floundering and, you know, they just don't know better or, you know, gosh, they don't talk about it. It's just, but again, that's not my experience. My home group has always been, we've had to actually pull back on how many people we have serve at district because.
Don't rub it in, really.
I didn't know service was optional. I didn't know, and I'm so grateful for it because it gives a person like me purpose and something to do so I don't get in trouble.
I can totally relate to that.
I have to. Downtime is not my friend.
That's so cute. I get it. I love you, Heather. That's wonderful. All right. So there's another one here. It says, where did it go? My district has a Rule 63 problem. You're not allowed to change anything. I've been told, don't fix it. It's working. When they don't understand, it's not. You're being yelled at in caps there. The particular issue was taking up lots of time with GSR reports that say nothing useful, examples, we're doing fine, and then complaining the meeting is too long. How do you coach open-mindedness to change?
So they really have like emotion that you can't change anything. That's tough. Well, I would add a discussion. I would add, let's have a discussion topic about being able to change the agenda. And here's why. And then when it comes an opportunity to talk about it, because you'd be the one presenting it because you're the DCM or you're the GSR presenting it or whoever. So you have time to pitch it and be like, here's why. Like I don't like that we can't change the agenda. I would love to give the DCM the delegated authority to do the job we've asked them to do, but because of this motion, we've effectively tied their hands and they can't adjust the agenda to accommodate our district's current needs. We're stuck doing the agenda the way it was when we made this motion 10 years ago, but our district has evolved since then. So I mean, and then could we have a month where we try it differently and see, and if we hate it, we can go back to the way we've always done it. But there's nothing, I mean, we're encouraged to try new things. We're encouraged to try new ways. We can always go back to the how we were doing it, but could we try it for 1 month? But